He scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, at left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get it going. Happy Thursday, and we're underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is Thursday, January 9th. And from the Groundworks Downtown Studio, it's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media this hour, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and Seeker, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Flames are waiting for news and crossing their fingers on good news. The best news is that Wes Gilbertson is here and present. So that is one good piece of news that is taken care
of. That's pretty low bar for good news today.
I think it's great news.
Ah, that means a lot to me.
We're talking about Connor Zary and his situation. MRI, I believe, or imaging. I don't know if it's an MRI, so I'm not going to play a doctor. But imaging on this day, I'm guessing that's an MRI because that's usually what it means. But again, I'm no doctor. But scheduled for sometime on this Thursday afternoon.
Every sort of picture required to figure out what's going on there.
Exactly. His left knee getting analyzed, and they call it imaging with all their special cameras and such. But I think it's safe to say he's going to miss some time. I don't think it would be a surprise at all if come tomorrow morning we see Zary on IR, and I don't think it would come as any surprise if on Friday morning we see some sort of recall. And that's kind of now what we're waiting on, hoping that there's better news than maybe expected or better news than it looked on the Connor Zary front, and maybe we'll find that out on Friday. But, I mean, it might not be on Friday. There could be multiple opinions and all that type of stuff. Like, you want to make sure that you get the decision right and figure out exactly the best way to go forward. Anthony Mantha, I think there were two opinions that Mantha got before they decided to have the ACL surgery and shut him down. Like, is there a way you can play through it? Is surgery needed immediately? And obviously the medical professionals are far better suited to make that call than we are. So that's kind of where the Flames are as we're talking on this Thursday afternoon, is a little bit of wait and see what the situation looks like for Zary.
Yeah, and you know, I can guarantee you what's happening at the Saddle Dome. Like, the internal conversations are very much looking at the two scenarios in terms of, okay, if Connor Zary is going to miss this amount of time, what do we do? Who do we call up? What's the game plan? How are we juggling the lines? All that sort of stuff. If the second scenario comes through and, you know, they get some really good news from that imaging, and it's just a matter of letting the swelling subside, and there isn't the sort of damage that maybe we're fearing based on how ugly the replay was.
Yep.
The Flames would happily shelve everything in the other file that they came up with as a, I suppose, contingency plan. But I'm sure, you know, in the last 48 hours, there's been lots of internal discussion about call-ups, about line combinations, about Connor Zary's spot on the power play, because this team needs to prepare as they wait to get the exact word to be without him for a while.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say he'll miss some time. How much time that and the actual severity of the left leg, left knee injury, that is to be determined. And I wonder, just reading some different actual medical professional opinions, if it's more than just the knee, if there's more to it. Again, we'll find all that out in the coming days. But the big question right now becomes, with that in mind, here's my big question anyway. Is it time for Rory Kerens? Is it time for the guy that I think most Flames fans are clamoring to see and have been clamoring to see for weeks and months now at the NHL level? Is it time for him to be recalled? Is it time for him to get his first shot at the highest level? And my answer is, yeah, I think it is time. And I think he's one of the guys that they are heavily considering right now. I would, you know, I think there's probably a group of guys that they've been debating right now. I think Karens, because of the position he plays, the season he's having in the American League, I think he's undoubtedly one of them. I would kind of think it would be Karens, Dryden Hunt, Adam Klapka, maybe Sam Honzek, who you brought up a little earlier this week. Like, those are probably the guys that are being discussed right now behind closed doors, and all for different reasons.
Wouldn't that be overthinking it?
I think so. Yeah. And my guess is that, yes, it is Rory Karens' time. And I think it should be. And my guess is it will be Rory Karens' time. And that's who they end up deciding to come up, because it just makes too much sense. Zeri out for a week, Zeri out for a month, Zeri out for the season. They're now short a center. And what position has Rory Karens led the AHL in goal scoring in? Center ice. And it just makes too much sense. And look, I don't know if it does end up being Karens. I don't know if they instantly put him into that spot, because I do think Ryan Huska has said enough things about, you know, the potential of Sharon Govich back down the middle, that they could try that for a little while. So it may not be an immediate insert into the lineup if they do decide to go Karens as their recall. But we're on the same page that we think it should be. And I know that we determined that on Wednesday's show. And my guess is it will be, because it's the option that makes the most sense from a hockey standpoint, I believe. And it also is the option that fits the direction that Craig Conroy and this team have been wanting to go. When the opportunity to go younger is there, far more often than not, they've gone younger, especially when the door's as wide open as it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is too easy. You know, it feels like a no-brainer, at least from my vantage point. Like, you're talking about needing to fill a hole at center. Well, in that case, you probably call up the best center on your farm team. Right? That's Rory Karens.
Yep.
You're talking about needing to generate more offense. You're talking about being a team that is going to need to manufacture more goals into the second half of the season. Well, in that case, you probably want to call up the AHL's leading goal scorer, wouldn't you? Well, that also happens to be Rory Karens. And to your point, this is a team that wants to trend younger where they can and wants to know sort of a status update on what they have in the system. And this is a 22-year-old who you've drafted, who you've developed, and who you've watched sort of rocket onto the radar with a terrific first half of the season with the Wranglers. And so I almost look at it sort of the other way. Like, what message are you sending to Rory Karens and to your AHL locker room if he's not the call-up? And listen, if they go a different direction, there will be a lot of massaging with Rory Karens. Here's the reason we went with Dryden Hunt, or, you know, we're going to move Sharon Govich to center, which is why we brought up Adam Klapka, or we think we need a really heavy team against the LA Kings, so we're going to start with this. Like, that, there will be those conversations behind the scenes, but I just, it's too easy. Like, I just think this is so obvious.
And for all those reasons that we've both hit right there, that's why I think it will be. I think a few things are important if that does end up being what they end up announcing, and we get that announcement sometime on Friday. If that's the way that it goes, I think it's also important to, like, temper some expectations in terms of when he gets in the lineup, because I don't know if that automatically means he's right in for the game against Los Angeles. Maybe they ease him in that way. I think you have to temper it that way. I also think it's important to, like, temper your expectations in terms of what he is at the NHL level, because, you know, this is a guy that has worked extremely hard on his skating, extremely hard on his pace. As you mentioned, sounds a lot like Connor Zeri from, you know, a little bit more than a year ago, like 14 months ago, when he got his chance in early November of 2023. But there's no guarantee that Karens just steps in and, yeah, he's an NHLer. Like, maybe if he gets into three or four games, they determine, yeah, he's just not quite ready. And that's okay too. If they've and this is what I would say. Another reason why I think this makes the most sense, and why I really think that this is the way it's gonna go, is because, you know, very much like the Jacob Pelche situation, who they recalled about a month ago, like, they're like, hey, we need to know what he is before we know what Dryden Hunt is. We know for the most part what Adam Klapka is. Let's go Pelche, see what he is in the NHL. And so far, so good. I think that he's giving us some nice glimpses of Jacob Pelche, the potential full-time NHLer, and that's been a really nice thing to see. And so this is another opportunity to do that. Before you recall the guy that we know exactly where he fits and exactly what you're going to get from, you know, a guy a little older and with far more professional experience in Hunt, you've got a guy with zero NHL games under his belt, but has been a revelation and an opportunity to maybe be found money. A sixth-round pick. What if he turns into a full-time NHLer as a sixth-rounder? What if he turns into Andrew Mangiapane? I know Mange didn't play center, but what if it's a Mangiapane? What if it's a Verhaeghe? What if it ends up being a success story like that? You want to make sure that it's a success story like that in your organization because you gave him the opportunity. And so that's why, again, I just think it makes the most sense. And if it doesn't go that way, that's okay. Then you can send him back, and then you can bring up Klapka, or then you can bring up Hunt, and then you can go down that road. But I think if you didn't go the most obvious, glaring way first, you're not necessarily doing what's best for the big picture. And I think the Flames are still very much, and I think Craig Conroy is still very much focused on the big picture. So again, the more and more you talk about it, it just seems like, hey, this is the pretty obvious way that it should go. And that's kind of what my guess is going to be as to which way they do go when they make an announcement here in the next 24 hours or whatever it ends up being.
I want to hit what you just said, and I'm going to separate it into two sort of different things. I'm going to touch on first what you were just talking about, and then circle back to the possibility. Okay, well, if they do call him up,
yeah,
what's it? How much playing time does he need? Does he need to be in right away? All that. But the word I wrote down, and I love the fact you used it, is revelation. And for those of you who are interested, I wrote a really long feature about Rory Cairns. It was published a few days before Christmas. The headline on it was "What got into Rory Cairns, and when will it get him to the NHL?" And here's what is so fascinating about Rory Cairns is this has not been a guy who's been on anybody's radar up until this fall. When we talk about the Flames not knowing what they have in Rory Cairns, typically when you're considering a call-up in the second week of January, you're probably looking at a guy who you at least saw a glimpse of in exhibition, right? At least dressed for one or two preseason games in the fall, and that wasn't the case with Rory Cairns. In fact, he was one of only a few forwards on the training camp roster who didn't get into any games in the preseason, and that's quite frankly because they didn't think he was close to being on the radar. They didn't think that this is a guy who was close to being in consideration. Rory Cairns used that snub or overlook, whatever you want to call it, in the right way. He got an opportunity thanks to a couple of roster shuffles, starting with Cole Schwint getting claimed off waivers. He took advantage of an opportunity, yep, to play as the Wranglers' first line center, and he's absolutely run with it. But one of the reasons that he's been such a neat story, and also that the Flames don't know exactly what they have, is like he came out of nowhere, right? He didn't get any preseason games. He was playing the wing at Wranglers training camp. And then Kevin Rooney got clobbered by JT Miller and Justin Kirkland got called up. And they thought, geez, we kind of like the way the rest of our lines are looking. Why don't we just give Rory Cairns the first line center job? And he's absolutely taken off with it. And so I don't really know where it goes at the NHL level. I don't think anyone necessarily does, but he's absolutely, as a point-per-game guy, as the AHL's leading goal scorer, as the best forward on the Wranglers, earned the opportunity. Now, to circle back to the other part, well, what happens if he comes up and he's not in the lineup against the Kings, or he doesn't play the first couple games, or he's on the fourth line or whatever? This one, to me, depends a little bit more on just how long of an opportunity we might be talking about. And so we're obviously referring to an injury to Connor's area. We're waiting,
yes,
on the results of imaging. We don't know how long it's been, but let's just say to kind of make my point that Rory Karens was potentially being looked at as a call-up because someone had been suspended for two games. I'd be sitting here saying, you got to get this guy in. You got to figure out this is your opportunity. If we're talking about a potential opportunity that could span weeks, I wouldn't have that same reaction. I wouldn't mind them kind of slowly integrating Rory Karens if what he's going to get is a little bit of an extended look.
Yep.
It's just if you only have a one-week window to find out what you have in Rory Karens, you got to find out now. If you might have a little bit longer, then, you know, I've bruised my fist enough hammering the table for a Rory Karens call-up. I don't need to bruise it more about where he might fit in the lineup.
So, again, I think it is the move the Flames should be making. I think it is the move. My guess is it's the move the Flames will make. Because, look, I think it's safe to say that Zeri's going to – you get imaging. You have to have that much. I don't think he's playing Saturday against the LA Kings. I'm quite confident that he's not going to play against LA. And beyond that, is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 months? Is it – I don't know. And fingers crossed that it's 2 weeks or two games and not 2 months of the season.
And if I can just jump in, I think we're hoping he could get that imaging done today. There's an amount of swelling that needs to subside
and
before
maybe
you
it's
can
not
even get there.
Exactly. So I just think this is the move that seems so in line with the way the Flames have gone about their business over the last season and a half here. But I do think don't be, and I think there's a lot of fans who would be in this mindset already, but like, don't be expecting him to jump right in and score three goals in his first five games. I mean, maybe it takes some time. And if it takes some time, that's okay. And if it's deemed that, hey, maybe right now isn't the time, we've given him four or five games, it's not working, let's bring him back to the Wranglers and go another direction and go with a Hunt or somebody like that, that would be okay too. That doesn't mean that the Karens experiment or experience is over by any means. And yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that it needs to be like an instant, you're in, you're the number three line center immediately. Again, if they go down this road and it's what they decide to do when it's all said and done, then I think that you've got the opportunity to make sure that you ease him in, put him in a, like if he's recalled and doesn't play on Saturday, I guess I just don't want my Twitter feed blowing up with, what are they doing? How can they do this? Because I don't think the idea would ever be to just bring him up and sit him indefinitely.
If I can,
that
just,
would be the one thing that I would also caution.
If I can just jump in though, if you're listening right now and you're thinking of filling anyone's Twitter feed, Pat's, please.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I can take those slings and arrows.
I think this is what makes the Rory Karens discussion so interesting, is like I actually don't think anyone internally or externally has a great read on what to expect. There's still a fairly small body of work as a professional. We're talking about a guy who put up great numbers as a junior, but was selected in the sixth round for a reason, right? The old saying is, well, if you thought he was going to be a surefire NHLer, you probably would have taken him a little sooner. And yet I think what Rory Karens has earned with this fantastic start with the Wranglers is an opportunity to, okay, start to find out. And you heard me say yesterday, anyone who was listening would have heard me say yesterday, if you decide to bring up Rory Karens and it ends up being sort of like the start of the season with Sam Hontzek, it's four or five games and it's a real eye-opener for a guy of, you know, what the pace is like at the NHL level, how strong the guys are at the NHL level, how tough it is to pickpocket.
That's good too,
an NHL
right?
defense. That's valuable. Like, we're talking about a 22-year-old, and maybe Rory Karens is ultimately Ben Street or Alan Quine, a guy who rips up the AHL and it doesn't necessarily translate, but the Flames would love to have found money in a sixth round pick. And the only way you find out if it's found money is to take advantage of an unfortunate opportunity like an injury to Connor Zeri would be and find out what you have there.
This was Rory. He joined us on Wednesday's Flames Talk after being named an American League All-Star and an intrepid reporter, intrepid member of the Flames Talk fam. We asked the question.
Vixie?
It was Wes. It was Wes Gilbertson of the Clan Gilbertson. This was Rory's answer to, hey, I mean, the when the time comes, will you be ready? How are you feeling about potentially that call coming?
Yeah, I mean, I guess all the talk is nice, and it's nice to have people recognize, my early on successes in the year. But I mean, at the same time, it's I got to keep doing the job down here and keep working on my game, and whenever they're ready for me, I think I'll be ready.
I love that last part. Whenever they're ready for me, I'll be ready.
Yeah,
and I think that we're talking about a guy. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got was from the old Regina Rocket, Kelly Kirsch, and he just told me, when the opportunity comes, just make sure you're ready for it. I don't know if it's in a year or 2 years or a month, but just be ready for it. And that stuck with me for the last 20 years. Just like, okay, when your shot comes to have something bigger in front of you, be ready for it. Be ready to tackle it. Be in the right mindset. Have your reps done and be ready to jump in with both feet and slam down that door. And that's kind of, if it ends up being Karens that they decide, that's what's going to be in front of him now.
Yeah. And I can't stress enough how sort of out of nowhere he came to even be talked about for this opportunity.
I guarantee you, neither of us would have anticipated having this conversation in September.
Yeah, like if you put it to me this way, you said, hey, there's an NHL franchise, don't care what NHL franchise, there's an NHL franchise and they're going to open their preseason on the road on a Sunday night, and then they're going to play split squads the next night. So you're going to need 60 guys in 28 hours. What do you think of the guy who doesn't get in to one of those 60 spots? You think he'll be called up in January?
Yeah.
Never. And so the fact, and I'm at the point, and the more we talk about it, the more sense it makes. Like, I'm at the point that I'll be a little bit surprised if it doesn't, if they make a different decision.
I don't think they will.
It's right there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be who they...
I mean, Pat, no disrespect to me and to you as well, but if we can figure it out...
Yeah. Here's some text, 960-960. Let's not make the Phillips mistake with Rory. And again, it's probably been proven that Matthew Phillips is not a full-time NHLer. Mm-hmm. But as I've said all along, would have been nice to know that with the team that drafted him instead of other teams. Because what if he did turn into a full-time NHLer with Washington or Pittsburgh or what? It's better to find these things out.
Yeah.
With your organization, especially when you're the team that drafted him.
And one of the things that made, and we don't need to harp on it, but one of the things that made the Phillips situation so frustrating for many is that, like, those were meaningless games at the end of a season against Vancouver. That there's nothing to do in that game except get a look at guys. And you didn't find out what you had in Matthew Phillips. And obviously it went into the next season as well. That wasn't the only example. But, you know, this isn't telling Connor Zary, hey, you're perfectly healthy and we're going to sit you out for a couple
Karens,
games.
You mean?
No, no, no. Okay. You're not pulling a guy out of your lineup hey, we're ready to do some experimenting. No, Connor Zary, if he's not in the lineup, it's because that left knee is keeping him out of the lineup.
Yep.
And so this is a golden opportunity. And like you said, maybe it doesn't happen against the LA Kings, who I just checked, still only have three guys under 6 feet in their lineup. Like, that's a... I think I know enough about the way Ryan Huska thinks to know that's a Walker-Dewar game.
Yeah.
But, hey, there will be a lot of people in this city doing cartwheels if Rory Karens is even on the ice for practice tomorrow. He's earned the look.
This from Murray in Rocky Mountain House. Sharon Govich struggled at center last year. Why would they put him there this year when he's already struggling? Karens makes more sense. The reason why I keep bringing that up is because I do believe, and Ryan Huska has made reference to this and has spoken about this. I think that they feel like there's a chance, and I think we even saw it Tuesday in Anaheim, that if Sharangovich is down the middle, he has the puck a little bit more. And currently, when Zeri was the center, Zeri thrives with the puck on his stick. And when you're the center iceman, you know, you're the primary decision maker. And if the decision is to keep the puck and not distribute or feed, well, then you're going to trust the center iceman in that situation. So maybe if the opportunity to move Sharangovich to the middle is there, that'll help him get more puck touches. That's the reasoning. I'm not saying it's going to work or they should, because I generally agree with Murray's text there, but that's kind of the reasoning that I wonder if, again, they do try Sharangovich down the middle for a little while.
One place, and I still think Yegor Sharangovich is better suited for the wing. But,
as do I.
But one thing that he deserves credit for as he goes through this extended scoring slump, one of the reasons that he was so ineffective as a center last season is he couldn't win a faceoff. He absolutely could not swipe a draw. And if you're looking for any reason to be optimistic that the Flames can improve on faceoffs, like Yegor Sharangovich is, he's their best faceoff man. Which among
I would not
guys
have suggested.
Who take a decent amount of them, right? Like he's at 49.3. You never, I get it. You never want your leading faceoff guy to still be below 50%, but he has addressed one of those concerns. And so I think he's better on the wing, but the fact that they are pondering him as center, part of that has to do with the way he's improved at the dot.
This reads, Rory Kerens is a prime example of why top five picks aren't the only answer to finding talent and why scouting matters. Agreed. And it's why I think there's a lot of people excited about this most recent draft where, hey, whether it's Battaglia or Muse or Misa or Eric Jamieson is quietly having a hell of a year in the Western League. And these are guys that were not taken in the first round that you can be excited about.
I'm going to go way off track here, but I think this is sort of neat to mention about Henry Muse. Last night with an assist, first defenseman in the OHL this year with 50 points.
Yep.
There's a dozen guys in the OHL, one defenseman with 50 points. Third round pick Henry Muse is in that club.
I found that out on Wednesday night.
Round pick Luke Misa as
fifth
well.
Round pick Luke Misa, yeah.
Forward, but he's also 50 plus.
Yeah, I found that out via Wes Gilbertson on Twitter on Wednesday night.
I thought you'd block that one. I would.
My burner.
Oh, okay.
As a fan, there's nothing more exciting than watching a baby Flame getting his first chance at the NHL level. That's what keeps fans engaged, especially during a retool phase. So, yes, Rory Kerens should be called up with the void left by Zeri. And finally, from Mick, Kerens played some in the ECHL last year and had trouble staying in the Wranglers lineup. He's had a great first half, but if it's me, I'm letting him cook some more and calling up Dryden Hunt. Having said that, I agree. It's probably Kerens getting the call. You know, I've been of the let him cook opinion up until now, because every other time that you say, oh, there's a recall potentially coming, it's been essentially a fourth line guy. And whether it was Kirkland or Dewar or even Pelche, and that, and a lot of wingers that they were looking for. Well, now they need a center,
yeah.
And it's not a fourth line center. That's why I think this time makes the most sense. And that's why, why I think that this is what they're going to do.
Two quick things on that. The fact that Rory Kerens remains waiver exempt, you can use both ovens to let him cook,
yeah.
Right? Like you can give him this taste. I was actually chatting earlier this week with Sam Honzek about sort of what an eye-opener regular season NHL hockey was and how much he took away from that. If you gave Rory Kerens a few games, it would be very much the same thing.
It is Pat and Wes along with you this hour on Flames Talk. Text lines open at 960-960.
Let me just jump in with one more thing. Anyone who didn't catch the start of this segment, I just want to stress, we still don't have any certainty on Connor Zeri.
No, and we probably won't
today,
until Friday.
Assuming he's going to miss some time. But if you just jumped in and you're thinking, okay, the boys are talking about Rory Kerens, this has got to be bad for Connor Zeri, I just wanted to make sure I reiterated that.
Fingers crossed on Connor Zeri, and that remains the case. Flames are waiting for news, and that means Flames fans are waiting for news. Hopefully, it's a whole lot better than it looked on Tuesday night. Pat and Wes along with you, and we're coming at you this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right. Happy Thursday alongside Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. And now Derek Wills, voice of the Flames, back in Calgary, which makes me happy. Welcome home, Willsie. I'm glad you got back, albeit late or early on Thursday morning. Glad you're back in the 403. That is good news. And welcome back home after an arduous day in SoCal. You know, Wes and I spent the first half of this hour talking about, you know, is it time for Rory Kerens to get the shot? He and I both decided that, yes, it is. It is the time. And you know, we think that it is going to be Rory Kerens, and that's the guess as to who the Flames go with to recall heading into practice on Friday morning. Because I think it's safe to say that Connor Zeri is going to miss some time, and Flames are crossing their fingers it's not significant time and that it's not season-ending. But I think him playing against Los Angeles, yeah, you can pretty much write that off. So, saying all that, however long Connor Zeri does end up being out of the lineup, guys, what are the Flames losing without him, regardless of what they do as a replacement?
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if Rory Kerens wasn't recalled and wasn't on the ice with the team for practice on Friday. He's having just an outstanding season. He leads the AHL in goals with 21. He's second in points with 34 in 34 games. And you know, the Flames are a team that has struggled to score. So you call up one of the leading point producers in the American Hockey League and hope that his game transitions to the National Hockey League. We'll have to wait and see if they call him up and if that happens, should they. But as far as Connor Zeri is concerned, the Flames are losing, if not their most dynamic forward, then certainly one of their top two or three. I mean, he has been fantastic this season, and I don't know if you guys see it the same way, but I don't really think the stats tell the story. I think Connor Zeri's been better than his goal and assist totals would lead you to believe. I think he has been snake-bitten. And moving from the wing to center, I thought was going to be a tough transition for him, and in the face-off circle, it has been. But other than that, I think he's made the move look pretty easy, especially for a young player in this league. I mean, way more defensive responsibilities playing at center than on the wing. But quite often, despite the fact that he's the deepest forward in the defensive zone, he's almost always the guy leading the rush up the ice, helping the Flames break out of their zone, get through the neutral zone, enter the offensive zone, and you know, he's first on the attack at the other end. So they're going to miss a guy who helps them with defensive zone breakouts, a guy who I think has been as good as anybody on the team transitioning the puck through the neutral zone and getting into the offensive zone, and a guy who just keeps getting better and who has been very productive, third on the team in both goals and points. So long story short, they're going to miss Connor Zeri a lot for however long he is out. I hope he's back at some point in time this season. I don't know if it's a short-term thing or a long-term thing. We'll have to wait to hear as far as the testing is concerned. But, yeah, there's a lot that the Flames are going to miss as long as Connor Zeri is out.
You've put it this way a couple times, Willsie, over the last couple days, and I think it's absolutely accurate, which is just if you made a list of a few guys that the Flames absolutely wouldn't want to be without, Connor Zeri has very much put himself on that list. Production's one of those reasons. Like, they have three guys in double digits in goals scored this season. Matt Coronato is going to join them soon, but three guys right now with 10 plus goals, Connor Zeri is on that list. I think you certainly miss his confidence with the puck. He's as dangerous with the puck on his stick as anyone on the Flames roster. I put him right there with Nazem Kadri in terms of a guy who, when he has it, has the sort of confidence and I guess sort of the aggressive mindset to really do something with it. You know, that how many times have we seen Connor Zeri dipsy doodle around a defenseman this year? And that's something that the Flames, they don't have a lot of guys who are gonna get that speed through the neutral zone and turn a defenseman inside out. And that is a skill that Connor Zary has had. It's what he was trying to do on the knee-on-knee collision the other night in Anaheim, was making an aggressive move. And so you certainly miss that. Jacob Pelche as an individual is going to miss a guy who he's really started, I think, to develop some chemistry with. Like, Jacob Pelche was in part establishing a foothold in the Flames lineup because it was working fairly well alongside Connor Zary. So if you're looking for individuals who are going to be impacted, he's certainly one of them. And, you know, the only other thing I'll add before I throw it over to Pat is I'm trying to remember what game it would have been. Maybe it was the butt kicking from Tampa, but I know, Pat, you had him on the post-game show after a loss.
Yeah, it was the Tampa game.
And he was absolutely fuming. I went and listened to it. The quotes were strong. Like, because of his production and what that's meant to his status within the team, he has an edge to him that I think is really starting to show up in the locker room as well. And I'm not saying that this is the same sort of leadership loss as Backlund or Coleman or Anderson or whomever, but this is a guy who really burns. This is a guy who was going to be one of those guys driving the team on those tough nights, and I think they're going to miss that part as well.
The thing that I give Zary so much credit for is because I agree, guys. Like, when we talk about his dynamic skill, when we talk, like, there's one guy at the top of my list in terms of, you know, who gets you out of your seat right now when he has the puck. You know, the last time that I can remember having a guy, they're like, oh, he's got it neutral zone or top of the defensive zone. Let's see what happens next. The last time was, you know, when Johnny was here. And I'm not suggesting that Connor Zary has the same high-end skill that, you know, a very, very, like, once-in-a-lifetime kind of skilled player like the late Johnny Gaudreau had. I'm not suggesting that, but I do think he's the first guy that you're like, okay, let's see what he does with a little bit of a windup and a little bit of speed. And he makes plays. He makes very high-end plays at a high speed level. And you're like, okay, the Flames don't really have anybody like that. The next guy on that list would be Kadri, but he does it a little bit differently. And Zary's got the ability to beat you one-on-one and do it multiple times. And so you just lose that element because nobody else really has that same element. And so that type of dynamic skill is something that I'm just worried's the wrong word. It's just, I know that there's really nobody that's going to replace that until Zary's ready to return. And I just give him so much credit over the last number of months, you know, even last number of years, because he's now turned into a guy who pushes the pace. And my biggest worry about him coming out of Kamloops and out of the Western League and listening to scouts and watching him in his early stages with the American League teams was, I don't know if this guy's got the ability to keep up with NHL pace. And he's gone from, credit to him, credit to his work with Danielle Fujita, credit to his work with just the strength and conditioning and the rest of the skills group the Flames have in their development staff. Like, credit to Zary for putting in the work, because now he's gone from a guy that I think many of us were worried if he was going to be able to keep up to the NHL pace to now being a guy on this team who more often than not pushes the pace and dictates the pace and leads it and drives a line. That says a lot about a guy. He did it on the wing and now he's doing it down the middle. So yeah, they're missing a lot, guys. And whether it's 2 weeks or 2 months or longer, there's really at this stage, and I don't know if we really ever anticipated this until he made his NHL debut 14 months ago, but they're losing a lot, and a guy that right now I don't really think they've got the type of player to replace him.
Yeah, they don't. And I mean, they weren't the deepest team down the middle to begin with. So losing one of your top three centermen certainly is a big blow. And now his numbers aren't great, 10 goals and 22 points in 40 games, but they're really good. And how much better would they be if Yegor Sharangovich was the same player this season that he was last season? How much better would they be if the Flames didn't lose a top nine right winger in Anthony Mantha, whether he played on that line or somebody else currently playing in the top nine did? I think that there might've been a higher ceiling there than with Jacob Pelche on the right side of that line. So Now, Connor Zary's had a fantastic season. I'm absolutely gutted for him. I'm hoping that we get some news that would be, at least to me, somewhat surprising as far as his injury is concerned. But they're going to miss him a lot, five-on-five. And guys, they're really going to miss him on the power play. Because as we know, the Flames have struggled in the faceoff circle. When you lose the faceoff on the PP and you have to re-enter the zone, for me, he has been the best player on the team at doing that. Mm-hmm. And they're going to miss him in a lot of ways, and that's certainly going to be one of them.
Okay, Daily Flames Roundtable on this Thursday. He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thought we'd have a little fun with our second topic. And look, this is one that has come up multiple times on Flames Talk postgame. It's come up multiple times on our text line. And it came up as one of our mailbag questions on Wednesday. Wes and I spent the full second hour doing a mailbag. And I get it. We know that Vancouver's in flux. Apparently Vancouver will never win an overtime game ever again. And they every how about Tyler Myers just keeps outdoing himself. There is the Seattle overtime gaffe, and then whatever that was on Wednesday night against Washington. I couldn't stop watching that. Anyway, I digress. There's a lot of talk about the future of Elias Pettersson in Vancouver. Elias does not have trade protection until July 1st, and there's a lot of people who wonder if, because of the high school drama that's going on, reported high school drama that's going on behind closed doors, if maybe Elias Pettersson is a guy that they do think about moving. So, because it's been brought up, and because it's a fun topic, and because I don't think it's irrelevant, should the Flames be ready to do what it takes to bring in Elias Pettersson if indeed he is available?
Well, it's a tough question for me to answer, Pat, because I don't know what it's going to take. Should they be interested? Absolutely, 100%. Because if the Flames could acquire Elias Pettersson, in my opinion, he would be the best offensive player the team has had since Johnny Gaudreau. And he should still have some room to grow. He's only 26 years old. I mean, he's a 5-time 20-goal scorer, a 3-time 30-goal scorer. He's had over 100 points in this league. And I know he's having a tough year, and maybe you could buy low on him because of that and because of the drama going on with him and JT Miller, but he's not going to be cheap. So I guess the question would be, what would the Canucks want in return for him? Obviously, they're going to want a ton, and they're going to try to start a bidding war, and I don't think that would be difficult for them to do. Although, with his salary, there are only some teams that could make that work. The Flames are obviously right at or near the top of that list because of all the salary cap space that Craig Conroy has created. So it would be very easy for them to acquire Elias Pettersson and 100% of his contract. But what would the Canucks want in return? If I'm the Canucks, the first guy I'm asking for is Rasmus Anderson. And if I'm the Flames, I would be hesitant to do that, but I would need to know, what are your plans moving forward? Do you plan to sign a long-term extension with us? And if the answer to that question is no or maybe, then maybe that becomes something that you would think about. But it would take, obviously, more than just Anderson, and that's with all due respect to him. He's been the Flames' number one defenseman. He's having a fantastic season. I hope he stays with the team long-term. But when you're trying to acquire a player, the ilk of Elias Pettersson, you're going to have to pay a very high price. Could you pay a price that you can live with? Potentially. It depends on how many other teams get in on the bidding war and what the Canucks are looking for. But I would absolutely be making that call and trying to bang down that door to see if I can make a deal that would work for me happen.
Yeah, I think they have to make the call. I mean, you might be buying low statistically, but I don't think you can actually buy low on Pettersson, especially as a division rival. I really get the sense if the Canucks are going to make this move, they're going to want an absolute haul. But the reason that Craig Conroy has to sniff around on this, like, trying to think, guys, what year was the Jack Eichel trade?
That was
21?
2021, yes. So November 2021.
So this is how often elite centers become available on the trade market. Like, these guys are not often made available by their teams. Now, I've said this week several times, I do have the heebie-jeebies about why the Vancouver Canucks seem suddenly keen to move Elias Pettersson, and maybe Maybe keen is a little bit of a leap in terms of what word I'm choosing, but I am, after the length they went to get him re-upped with his age, with his talent level, I am a little bit concerned about why the Canucks are even entertaining this. And yet, if you're a team that doesn't have a top flight center, this is one of those rare opportunities to try to get one. They do not get moved. They do not get made available in their mid-20s very often. And for that reason, I don't think there's any chance the Canucks are willing to trade him one province over. I think they'd be terrified by what that might look like down the road, but you'd certainly have to make the call.
Did you know, this is, first of all, I guess to answer my own question, yes, they should. And there's really, there would maybe be two untouchables if we're talking about a player of this caliber. I think Dustin Wolf and probably Zane Parekh would, I would try my best to keep them off the table. And nothing else on that would be untouchable for me, because a player of Elias Pettersson's caliber and position and age never come around. And, you know, it's funny, Wes, you talk about the heebie-jeebies of why it might be. There are people having those same conversations about Jack Eichel. Like, hey, can you win with Jack Eichel? Like, is you know, Jack wants his own neck surgery, and they've never done anything in Buffalo, and he's overpaid. Jack Eichel went to Vegas, got a change of scenery, and has been their number one center, has won a Stanley Cup. They might win another one. And so I, when you have a number one center available and you're a team that has been starved for a number one center for decades, yeah, you know what? I can put my I can put those things aside for a little bit. And I'm not even trying to call you out.
No. The only difference for me is Jack Eichel was looking to sort of force his way out of Buffalo.
Whereas maybe not the same in Vancouver.
And sure. That's where the heebie-jeebies come from, is why is Patrick Elvin, why is Jim Rutherford entertaining this? Like, why are they thinking, you know what, we might be better off without this
Which kid? Is fair. But over the last two seasons, so not this season, but the prior two seasons, only 9 players have had more combined points than Elias Pettersson. Connor McDavid, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, David Pastrnak, Artemi Panarin, Mikko Rantanen, Matthew Tkachuk, and Austin Matthews. Only 4 centers have had more points than Elias Pettersson over the last two seasons, excluding this year. Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Austin Matthews. This 191 points in his last two seasons. This is a guy that if the possibility is there and Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin are okay potentially dealing inside the division, you do what it takes. I am skeptical, though, Wilsey, that Calgary would be the destination. Regardless of Pettersson's lack of trade protection, it's just, I don't know if Vancouver. Elias Lindholm was one thing because he was a pending unrestricted free agent. Pettersson signed long-term. He's not going anywhere if he gets moved here. I feel like Vancouver would do what it takes to not trade him in division. But if they decided not to, all day, every day, do what it takes.
I agree, especially because last year the Flames and the Canucks made not one but 2 trades. And I think at this point it's very safe to say the Flames won both of those trades. You know, they got a haul for Elias Lindholm, and they got rid of a problem in Nikita Zadorov, and they just added to their already large pool of picks and prospects. So maybe the Canucks are a little bit more trigger shy because of that, and because the Flames are one of their top 2 rivals, and because they're one province over. But I'll say this, even though the Canucks would probably rather not trade Elias Pettersson to the Flames, I don't think you can not pull the trigger on that trade just because you're afraid that, you know, he's going to have success in a new place. I think you have to make the best deal for your team. And if for the Canucks, the best deal on the table comes from the Flames, I think you have to do it. I think you got to worry about yourself. I don't think you can worry about it, whether or not you're making another team better.
Sure is a fun topic. Who knows? Who knows if it ever actually becomes...
I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I'm not either. But Boy, it sure would be neat if that became a possibility. All right. Well, I'm sure that we'll be reacting to some news on Friday, and we will react to news on Friday with you then, Wilsey, on the final roundtable of the week. For now, welcome back. Glad you're home, and we'll see you practice on Friday morning. Thank you, pal.
Yeah, good to be home, and just thoughts and prayers to everybody in Southern California. It just keeps getting worse and worse there, and for the people that have lost loved ones, for the people that have lost their homes, I'm just absolutely gutted for them. So hopefully it gets better by the end of the week, and everybody stay safe. But we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thank you, Wilsey. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg. That's our Daily Flames Roundtable as we start to wrap things up this hour. Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson, our producers this hour. Shanron Hughes and... How do we like that? Shanron Hughes. Shanron... I don't like it. Shan?
Views? Caman Views.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
We need to workshop that one. Shan Virgie, Cameron Hughes, our outstanding producers this hour. Thank you, boys. And that Daily Flames Roundtable, as always, is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.